This episode is presented by Corgi Spirits, Jersey City's first and only distillery, and by Bon Bon, a neighborhood bistro in Lawrence, Kansas, bringing Midwest flavors to international cuisine.
Hey, Food Radio listeners. I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie, and I'm really excited to share that we're launching a brand new show. Meat and Three is HRN's weekly food news roundup. Tune in for a deep dive and three tasty shorts every Friday evening. It's 15 minutes, so you can listen while you wait for your pizza. This week, the fight for universal free lunch in New York City public schools isn't over yet.
I'm overburdened. I'm overworked. I don't get staff when people are out.
Plus, Dana Cowan, former editor of Food & Wine magazine and host of HRN's Speaking Broadly, catches up with Valerie Lomas, the winner of the Great American Baking Show's Derailed Season 3. Discover how a Danish brewery is motivating people to get fit, and hear Allison Roman speak to the highs and lows of her cookie recipe going viral.
Every time I see anyone in a social setting, that's generally the first thing they ask me is, how are the cookies?
Be better informed and wildly inspired by the stories and people you hear on Meat and Three. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
Hey, Damon. I'm Souther Teague. What's going on?
Hey, man. Dude, a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the studio right now. Yeah. We got on the air a little bit late, but that's because there's so much prepping
happening. There's a lot going on in the studio today. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot going on in general. Dude, got to see you the other night. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, Grand Army, 3 years old.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
dude, that was a fun party. You're a toddler.
Yeah. I got to DJ.
That was awesome, by the way.
My records smell really dusty and moldy. It's been a while, so that was a lot of fun, man. We had a real blast. 3 years.
It was a blast. You know, I was there. Max and I came down, and the team looked really happy. The room was packed full of friendly faces. You know, we were walking around drinking hard starts with everybody, and just having a great time. And you guys were in the corner.
Couldn't have had a better party.
It was a beautiful night, so the doors were open.
Yeah,
it was gorgeous.
Man, thanks for coming by, man. That was awesome.
Grand Army is doing a grand thing in that neighborhood.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I got to tell you about last night.
Yeah, what happened last night?
So, Henry and I were working. We always, as we...
Henry O, hanging out in the studio right now.
Actually, in the studio. Also with Jeff Galley from Primeats.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite people. Some of my favorite people I've gotten to work with in the past. And presently. But, so Henry and I always work Tuesday nights together. And we're like, all right... It can't possibly be that busy tonight. This might be like one of those easy nights because we had the party the night before.
Plus, it was really weird weather last night. Crazy gray skies. It looked like Wizard of Oz out there.
But then, like, as soon as you say that,
yep,
then it just comes at you hard.
You jinxed yourself.
Like then the sky turned and then it was raining real hard and like it was coming down and it's hard to concentrate today with this. I wish that the listeners could see what's going on here. We'll post some pictures. Anyway, so we like go through this whole night, and we get to like the last couple people in the bar. We just had a banger of a night, and it's something I've wanted to talk about for a while.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, these two guys, they're sitting at the bar. They come in late. They order a couple of old fashions to start, and it's like an hour before closing time, and then. After that, they get a round of whiskey on the rocks. And then they follow that up with another round of whiskey on the rocks.
These guys are nightcapping.
They're nightcapping real hard. And one of the guys all of a sudden has hiccups.
Oh, no.
This is what I want to talk about. Hiccups. Okay. So
the non-existent cure, or do you have a cure?
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. So I came up with one last night. I feel kind of bad about this, actually, but I'm conflicted, actually. But anyway, so the guy's like telling the other guy, he's like, yeah, just drink water upside down. He's like, what the fuck do you mean drink water upside down?
Yeah.
And he's like, just like kind of like bend over and then suck it. And I'm like, all right, I can already say way too many things on this. So he tries that, doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, this is total fucking, like, out of nowhere, new to me and to Henry. You guys, like, can you pour some vodka on a napkin? And I'm like, are you going to, like, chloroform
yeah.
your friend?
Yeah. Does this napkin smell like before? Chloroform to you? No.
Yeah.
No, so I've never heard this one.
He was, like, huffing this vodka place napkin. And he's like, I was like, dude, Henry and I were just, like, looking at him. We're like, we have to do this just to see if it works. And, of course, it didn't. And
so does.
Then this guy, like, in his, like, hiccup fits, drunken state. Not totally, like, wasted or anything. He was just, like, kind of drunk. And, like, they were having fun. And it was lighthearted and everything. But he knocks over his glass of water. And it spills all over my mise en place. And I'm like, all right. This is totally the end of the night, I thought. So, so he's like, dude, can you help my friend? Like, you're a bartender. You must know, like, the tricks of, like, getting rid of hiccups. And I'm like, yeah, well, normally it's bitters and sugar on a lemon wedge.
Yeah.
That always works for me every time. He's like, can we do that? I'm like, no, you just spilled your water all over my garnishes and I had to throw them all out. And then he's like, you got to know something else. I'm like, I kind of like look around and like, this is where I feel bad. I was like, yeah, there's something I know about. It's a little avant-garde.
You may not have heard of this one.
Last ditch effort, you know, like. And then he's like, dude, I'll try it. Anything. So I just hit the feed button on my receipt printer and print out like a 7-8 inch long piece of receipt paper. I'm like, eat this. And without hesitation, the guy's like, he shoves a paper in his mouth and starts eating. I'm like, so this is where I start feeling bad.
Right.
I'm like,
as well you should.
I was like, oh my God. I'm a business owner and I just got this guy to eat a bunch of paper. If this guy like chokes and dies on this, I am so fucked. Like, but then also like while that thought was going through my head, I was like, all right, no, but you really have to chew on it and you really have to like work it out. Like you can't just swallow it. You got to actually eat the paper. And he's like, that's what I'm doing. Like with paper in his mouth. And then the thought crossed my mind, you know, this uncurable thing, sure. Hiccups. I started thinking about the drinking water upside down. Completely unnatural, right? The getting scared.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
scare them out of you.
The fear, like, chases the hiccups away. The bitters and lemon and sugar, it's kind of a shock to the system.
Sure.
But it also makes sense to me as, like, a cocktail, yeah. You know? But it's also, I think, and then, of course, the new classic, eating a shit fucking ton of paper.
Specifically like laser paper from the printer. Paper.
Yeah. Yeah, chemical paper.
It's like there's always the common thread with all of these is
it's kind
the
of unnatural.
Uncertainty.
Yeah, yeah.
The uncertainty of the outcome. It's all like the fear. It's like it's this, but not necessarily fear. It's just uncertainty.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wait a minute. This might actually work while he's chewing on the paper. And then like, you know, that 45 seconds go by and he swallows it. And we look over, me and Henry, because we're kind of like just like sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen. If I had hiccups, just watching this guy would have cured my hiccups.
Sure.
From the uncertainty of the whole event. And then he's like, my hiccups are gone. We're like, yeah. And he's like, how'd you do that? And it's like, I've never done that before. You gave spilled it water all over my bar, so I wanted to fuck with you.
But his hiccups
but
were gone.
But it worked.
And now
I'm
we
not
know.
Suggest. Okay, here's the thing. Disclaimer. Yes. I'm not suggesting anyone
eat paper
that.
Responsibly.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that was our night last night. What are we talking about?
Let's talk to our
guests. We've got a lot going on in here,
we
man.
Do. So in the studio, we've got our dear friend, Tanya Guffey, who was in last time as Tanya Guffey and is in this time as Tanya Guffey Stamper.
Woo!
And she works for Highland Park and sells delicious Scotch whiskey all over the city, as well as many other things she's done before that. We'll talk about all those things. But she brought Jackson Stamper, her new groom. And Jackson is the chef over at a little bar called Employees Only. And he
Never
has
heard of it.
Piled the room full of foodstuffs. So we're going to talk about both drinks and food today on The Speakeasy. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
glad
for
to be here.
Yeah, nice having both of you in here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get hiccups now, all this talk about
he always gets hiccups. Like, he's notoriously gets hiccups, too. So it's we're terrible. Not going to do the paper thing. But
what are they? Yeah, I mean, well, now that you know the trick, it's not going to be effective.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the it's a moving target.
Yeah. I feel like you could have given him like a shot of Smith and Cross, and that probably would have shocked him into the cure, submission too. Maybe.
The cure for hiccups is a moving target. It changes. I think that's the answer. Yeah.
You can't know it.
It's like, what's
it
over
has
here?
To be unknown.
What's yeah, yeah, yeah. What's ding, this? Ding, click over here.
Boom.
Smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors. So, Tanya, what have you been up to?
Oh, man. Well, obviously getting married was
Were you about happened. To say hitched?
Getting hitched. Yeah, so last time I was here, I think we were talking a little bit about DRAM, where I used to run the bar program, and I've moved into
R.I.P.
the
DRAM.
Dark side of brand work.
Do you think it's the dark side?
No, I love it, man. My back loves it.
Yeah.
My back is very thankful.
Your body appreciates it.
You know, having health insurance and dental insurance for the first time in 15 years was also exciting. You know, so...
Man, is that what counts as exciting now?
It, I mean, know.
Dude, that...
It's a rager.
That would get rid of my hiccups, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what? I have health insurance all of a sudden?
Man.
Holy shit.
You can just go to the doctor for your hiccups and like... yeah, so I've been, I'm technically the New York City brand ambassador for Highland Park, which is pretty great.
Yeah, Highland Park's no slouch whiskey.
Yeah,
it's like been around.
Yeah.
Only since 1798, so a few people have heard of it. Well,
Michael Jackson's a big fan, I understand.
What?
Not really? The Thriller.
Michael B. Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I think he's like, dead.
Yeah. Every Michael Jackson I know is dead.
No.
How many Michael Jacksons do you know?
He only knows one.
I only knew two.
Oh, okay.
With Highland Park, the cool thing about it to me is it's very, like, obviously you can speak more to this, but it's like a Viking whiskey, essentially. It's like super, it's like the northernmost part of Scotland?
We're the most northern distillery in all of Scotland. Yeah. And we're in a little chain of islands called the Orkney Islands. And they're incredibly kind of difficult to get to. They're kind of set apart. Their culture is very different from the rest of Scotland. They were founded by the Nordic Vikings. So basically for hundreds of years, they settled there, and they have more Viking ruins there than anywhere else in the world. The people that live there really affiliate more with the Nordic culture. They have their own flag. They don't do the fucking kilt thing. Like, that's just not their kind of style. And so they really are a very, very unique place. And it's also, there's a ton of shipwrecks around there. It's about 100 mile per hour winds like 6 months out of the year. So it's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Jeff actually went there a few years back, and he said that, like, you took the ferry over.
Yes.
And he was like, it was the craziest.
Did you fear for your life?
Well, on the way over there, I wanted to fear for my life. That's why I took the ferry as opposed to taking the plane. But it was a beautiful, crystal clear day. And my wife at the end, which was then at that time, my fiance, was like, you seem a little disappointed.
You didn't go overboard.
I wanted raging seas.
I truly was. But on the way back, there was hail and stormy winds. And I was the only...
Did you immediately regret your wish?
I was the guy in my full rain gear on the bow of the ship. Like, as it went up and down, like, just laughing the whole time.
And this woman still married you.
I was maniacally laughing the whole time. It was amazing. Then there was...
Bring it on.
Then there were double rainbows and everything was beautiful. It was really beautiful.
Amazing.
What is that? What do the Orkney Islands bring to the final spirit? Like, so, obviously there's going to be some iodine in there.
Yeah, so the crazy part about scotch in general is that if you really break it down, there's really only a few ingredients involved, and from one place to the next, it's so sweepingly different in taste profile, and that's because it's so terroir driven, almost similar to like mezcal. You can have the same base ingredients, but where you're making it has a huge impact on what comes out at the end. And so Orkney, we're very lucky because there's only two distilleries in the Orkney Islands, and we're both very different. Scapa is the other distillery up there. We're located on the Scapa Flow, so we have this really incredible water source, which does play a large part in the final spirit taste. But of course, that sea briny saltiness that you get from anything island, we're kind of like Isla Light if you think about it, as far as like smoke too, because we're peated whiskey, but we use Orkney peat, and Orkney peat is very specific because there are no trees in Orkney because it's too fucking windy. So we have all this beautiful heather, which over time decays, and that's how we get our peat. So it's unlike any other peat source that any other distillery is using, which is really cool.
That's like one of my favorite parts of the Michael Jackson whiskey book is when he talks about heather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most interesting things. It was one of those parts of the book that actually like kind of made me think about whiskey in a different way. Because I'd always, I guess back when I first read it many moons ago, I was always thinking about like bourbon, like American whiskey. And then like that's the thing that really like.
Well, yeah, especially peat. Peat sets scotches apart because, as Tony just mentioned, like it's different from place to place. Like the Islay peat is super dense and heavy.
Yeah, and primarily peat. So peat is essentially just made up of like decaying tree life and plant matter. So when you have like decaying trees, like they have in Islay, you know, the smoke, it's a longer burn, so more contact with the smoke. Definitely that bigger, richer, smokier campfire. Where we are, you know, the heather is really soft. It's really floral. It burns really quickly, so the contact is quicker. It has this really, like, soft, flowery elegance to it, which is, I think, really lovely. It's a great kind of mix for somebody that maybe doesn't want to always smell like, you know, an Islay scotch for 5 days. But they want to drink.
I don't like those people. They don't want to smell like
you that. Know. Anyway, yeah, so it's really cool. And heather, too, is something that attracts a lot of bees, that creates honey, which you get all of those awesome little nuances in the spirit, which is really insane. And then I guess probably the biggest other element for us is that the whiskey always is determinant on what kind of barrel you're putting it in. So, you know, I think 95% of Scotch uses ex-bourbon barrels as they can't be used again in bourbon.
Right.
They're cheap.
The Scottish invented the word frugal.
Frugal.
Frugal. Yes.
Seriously, anyone you talk to is like, oh, the Scottish, like, they can add caramel color, but nobody does because that costs money. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, like,
they're notoriously, a little stingy. But
my folks came over.
Yeah.
From Scotland.
Exactly. And so our barrels are primarily all ex-sherry casks. We are one of the few distilleries that has our own cooperage. We work with a bodega in Spain called Gonzalez Baez, who basically rent our barrels before we put our juice in it with dry Oloroso sherry first. So we're pretty lucky in that sense. That
far out. Looks like you got a bottle in your hand that you're itching to pour.
I'm
for
so
us.
I'm so excited about this.
I was going to say, enough talk.
So why don't you pour
more
that?
Drinking.
I'll pour it. You can.
If I remember correctly, there's also a bottle of 12-year Highland Park here.
That's just going to live here.
That's going to live here. Yeah. Well, oh, thanks
that's
for that.
Donation. That's a little donation things. To our ever-growing bar.
Yeah. But the 15-year Highland Park, isn't that one? That's American oak, right?
That's no longer being made. Well, basically, we couldn't keep up with the demand. Stock. So that basically had to be taken off the market so that we could have our 18-year.
Yeah, you got the 12 and the 18. Yeah. So that I would say to our listeners, you know, anyone who's a collector out there, if you find a bottle of 15-year,
buy it.
Snatch it up.
Yeah.
Dark Origins, buy
one
it.
One more glass up there.
For
I don't think Jackson.
Oh, you're not having
I'll have a little nip. I thought we were done.
So, Jackson, you're in the studio as well, and we're happy to see you.
I am here.
And you are
we
here.
We can see you.
You've been doing some work. what are you making for us today, and why? You just felt like bringing us a bunch of food?
I just brought you some food. Tanya suggested maybe I should bring some food. She said you guys never get food in here. So,
if you've ever listened to the show, you can definitely...
We always get liquor, but...
Yeah, you're like, really those guys need to eat something.
So,
Dave, we got some scotch in here for you.
So I brought a couple things. Language. One of them is a special that we're running at EO right now, so it's just a white gazpacho. We make it with pink muscat grapes, cucumber, some olive oil, a little sherry vinegar, and then it's got green almonds in it, dill, a little chive oil. Real simple.
It's beautiful
and nice for the summer.
How long have you been over there?
Oh man,
at employees only.
Probably going on 5 years now.
How many gallons of chicken soup have you made?
I think I would have to quantify it in tons at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Man, the thing about employees only is like Jackson and I both have employees-only tattoos.
Yeah.
Which we probably had for about the same amount of time.
A long time.
And the thing is, like, when you go to, like, a lot of bars in New York City, and a lot of, like, cocktail bars, like, around the country, the world, like, they always get a lot of press about the cocktails and, like, blah, 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 you know, like that.
Sure.
But, man, EO has some of the best motherfucking food.
Yeah.
Just, like, like, it really does. I mean, like, the...
Where did that come
like,
from?
That's Dave doing his thing.
Thanks, Dave.
You know, one of the things that really always stands up... This is beautiful.
It is.
One of the things that always stands out that people always talk about, a lot of times, like, before like anyone even talks about cocktails, like, you ever been an employees only? They're like, holy shit, the steak tartare.
The tartare. That's what I was about to say. I posted maybe 3 years ago on my Instagram, because I'm a... kind of tartare is one of those things for me. If it's on the menu, I'm probably going to order it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm feeling tartare tonight, but I want to go get a, you know, a really good one. What are your suggestions? About 300 people responded, and I'm going to say an easy 20% said EO. And by the way, the 300 that responded were from all over the world, right? Yeah. And 20% were like EO, EO, EO.
Yeah. EO. Dude, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the.
So what I'm saying is, why don't we get this gazpacho?
Yeah.
I also brought you tartare.
Aha! Uh-huh. Oh, you.
Sweet.
You guys are just quick to talk. I didn't even get to the tartare yet, man.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, that's like, I think food, I mean, like, obviously, like, my bar is like, it's, we don't have a very big kitchen, but we crank out a lot of food there.
Yeah.
At Grand Army. And it's a big part of, like, what we do. And that was by design. Like, where the kitchen is...
Part of it.
Part of the bar. It's, like, all together. Like, everyone's on stage together, yep. You know? You're going on... You got to rock out together, you know? So, I just think it's really amazing that, like, with such a world-renowned bar... And bars, actually, because there's so many locations now with employees only. But...
Yeah, you get to run around with all of them, right?
Yeah. We've got Singapore, Hong Kong. We just opened L.A. We've got Miami... and then there's still others in the works at the moment. So there's a bit of globetrotting. We're currently doing a pop-up in Barcelona right now at the Mandarin Oriental that's going on for another
week. You run around
and
train everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking amazing.
It's a lot of hopping and skipping.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to Barcelona. But he had a good time there.
But yeah.
But it's fun and it's great and it's a lot of blasts. Each one is its own individual thing. Everyone has... Sure. Keep the kind of the same vibe.
Is there a common thread though? Mentality. Do they all have the tartare?
Yeah.
Do they all have?
They all have the tartare. Yeah, okay. They all have certain things, and they Chicken all have certain soup. Vibes. But each one adapts to the city that it's in, which is a really great thing and kind of cool.
Well, you have to. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. So if you're ever in any of those cities, go check out the one there, and then check the one in New York, and you'll notice the differences, compare but you'll notes. Also notice all the similarities.
It's just so cool that that's like when I I swear to God, like every person I talk to about employees only, they're. The first thing they talk about is food.
Yeah.
And it's like this world-renowned cocktail bar.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool, man.
It's when Jack started working at Employees Only, I found out that, like, basically if you wanted to, like, bypass dealing with, like, the crowd and the lines and stuff, you could just have dinner in the back room and, like, look on at the show as it unfolds. Yeah. And it's like now one of my favorite places. Like before I only knew it as like, I remember being there sort of.
Right.
And I kind of remember leaving and I have like chicken soup on my breath. So I was clearly there later than I should have been. But like now I see it in this whole other light because I go and I have like dinner in the back and I make a reservation and I like get to like just kind of watch the, you know, crazy show unfold and then just like, you know, eat delicious, you know, full...
Yeah.
Entrees and
it's a very important place for our industry.
I think so too. And, yeah, absolutely.
And when people ask me about like why I got the employees only tattoo, because I've never worked there, but I've been friends with all the crew for a very long time. And I was actually down in New Orleans at Tales of the Cocktail, with some recording equipment for the speakeasy, and I was doing a lot of interviews. And I ran into the gang from EO, and they were walking to the theater. They were having this huge party, and at this big theater, and they were like, "We're not doing a VIP list. We're not doing a guest list. Everyone just has to come, and like, everyone's equal. Like,
yeah,
whenever you get there, it's like you show up." And I was like, "That's really fucking cool." But they were like, "But wait a minute, because I just had." Some of the guys, on the, like Steve Schneider, on the show. And they're like, but, all right, We're going to do one VIP pass.
You can skip the line.
And you get it.
I think they were just giving you lip service.
Maybe. Yeah, but they were like, no, but like,
don't burst his bubble.
They were like,
look how cute he is.
He's so full of pride.
But no, it was cool because they were like, but here's what we want you to do. They come in early, interview everyone. That includes the bands that are playing, the tattoo artists that's going to be tattooing people. Stick around, like, interview people, like, while they're getting tattoos and, like, get the story behind why they are getting an EO tattoo. And so there was, like, a couple of people. There was, like, 33 people who got tattoos that night, employees-only tattoos, which is, like, kind of a culty thing, actually.
A little bit, yeah.
It's a trap.
And yeah. there was, like, a couple of people there that night that were just, like, I don't know, free tattoo.
Right.
Which will happen. But there was a couple. They were both getting employees-only tattoos. They weren't industry. They were just like, they were at Tales of the Cocktail. They're enthusiasts. You know, they wanted to like go and check this out. I'm sure maybe some of the people at Employees Only were like, dude, you got to check out this thing, Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans. It's a blast. So they were at the party and they were both getting them and they were super sweet. And I asked them like, you know, and like I asked everyone else, like with the mic in their faces, I was like, so what does this mean to you? And why are you getting this tattoo? And they were like, well, like, do you want to tell a story? No, do you want to tell a story? Yeah, you can tell a story. And it was super sweet. So anyway, the guy's like, all right, I'll take it. So he starts telling the story. And he's like, this bar is very special for us. Like, I actually met my wife at Employees Only. And the bartenders, like, connected. Then they were, like, kind of, like, talking across the bar. Then they're like, you guys should just, like, scoot next to each other, you know? So they get to talking. Asked her out. They went on their first date after that at Employees Only. Then he proposed to his wife at Employees Only.
Yeah.
They had their wedding reception at Employees Only. Whoa. And every year they have their anniversary at Employees Only. And I was just like, you know what? That's a sign of a really fucking good establishment, man.
Exactly, yeah.
It's part of your life. Oh, thanks, Dave.
Yeah,
it's great. We actually get a few of those, and it's a really wonderful part of the business to be involved in when especially long term, when you get to kind of see those things happen and see a place where we've worked become a part of someone else's life that isn't necessarily part of the industry or in that crowd. So,
right, they're just there to enjoy the thing that you built.
Exactly.
Right, which is why we built it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's great. I mean, in this industry, a lot of people I don't think get to enjoy long term at a lot of places. And when you do finally get that, and you get that stability, you get to see those wonderful things that do get to happen over time.
Right.
So yeah, I mean that's a big part of what we do and our philosophy behind everything. You know, I mean it's hospitality first, and the place was built for industry people to begin with, but it really evolved into this thing where it's like, well, we just want to give everyone a good time. And we want you to have a great time.
Absolutely.
We're having a great time.
And that's a great ethos. And we are having a great time here in the studio.
I want to try some of this gazpacho while we take a break, right?
I was about to say, yes. Let's take a break, Dave. Take us out for some words from our sponsors. And we're going to drink some scotch and eat some gazpacho and come back. And Jackson's going to make us some steak tartare. And we'll keep talking to Tony Guffey about Island Park.
What a great day we're having.
We're having a greatest day. We'll be right back.
Scotch and steak.
This episode is presented by Corgi Spirits. Housed at Jersey City's first and only distillery, Corgi Spirits meticulously crafts small-batch, ultra-premium gins with wonderfully unique botanical blends. Their brilliant spirits are suited for drinking on their own or in making cocktails that are refined yet playful, much like the dogs after which the brand is named. Because Corgi Spirits love dogs as much as they appreciate exceptional drinks, a portion of profits from every bottle of Corgi is donated to a local dog and animal rescue organization. Learn more about their mission to craft a better breed of spirits while helping save animals by visiting corgispirits.com. This episode is also presented by Bon Bon, a neighborhood bistro in Lawrence, Kansas, bringing Midwest flavors to international cuisine. Bon Bon is a place for friends and neighbors to come together and enjoy good food and good company. The heart of Bon Bon is filled with love for the community of Lawrence, Kansas, for the staff and suppliers that put food on the tables, for quality local ingredients, and for fun, creative dishes. Learn more at bonbonlawrence.com. Yes, I was born a banjo picking man, Lord,
Lord. I was born a banjo picking man. Yeah, and we're back. We are having a great time here at the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. I just downed a bunch of 22-year-old... 24-year-old. 24-year-old Glenroth Scotch. That, I didn't really... I was too busy talking, and I was like... And I was like, that's really good. And I was like, wait a minute. There's only 600 second. Bottles of this in existence. Shit, maybe I should take a little bit more time with it. But we're having such a great time. And also, you know what, man? A lot of times... I think the theme of this show should be meat and whiskey. I mean, like,
well, we've already got, that's we've already what we're got doing. Yes.
We had a really that gazpacho was fucking killer, by the way. I really like the grape element of it.
Thank you.
It's really cool, like super fresh.
We're all just using one spoon. What a bunch of dirt bags.
No, man, community. It's all. Hey, man,
yeah. I'm last in line, so I can't complain.
You get the whole bowl.
Get everybody's spoon.
So right now we are, Tanya, what are we drinking right now? This is the Valkyrie,
right? So yeah, right now you have the Valkyrie. It's a part of a three-part series. Valkyrie. This is the Highland Park Valkyrie. It's part of a three-part series that we're doing where we're playing with different peat levels and different wood. Scotch is very rigid. there's a lot of rules and regulations to it. So any kind of opportunity to do something interesting, I think the whiskey makers really appreciate. So we definitely have quite a few kind of special editions that we focus on every year. And so sure. The Valkyrie is a blend of three types of wood. So it's being aged in American oak sherry, European sherry, and then American ex-bourbon casks. And then we're amplifying the peat. So it's a much smokier version of Highland Park, which people often kind of ask for. Like, what would it be like with our weird heather peat if we dialed it up? Like, will it ever be like Isla? Well, this is a nice example of, like, how different it is because even at, like, 40% peated malt, it's still really pretty mellow and very salty.
Oh, you want it near the microphone.
Make the tartar.
Yeah, get it in there.
He's chopping up tartar for us live on air.
Anyway, not to bore you, but it's really delicious.
No, it's, what's cool about it is, like, it's not as... To me, it's not as, like, briny as a lot of, like, peated whiskeys are. And, like, it's not, like, it doesn't have, like, that...
Like, but the salt... I think salty. It's, like, a little bit salty, but... It
obviously does, but it's
like
not...
It's like salted toffee.
Yeah. It's like... So Highland Park is called Highland Park not because it's a Highland Scotch, but because it's it was founded in a place called High Park, which was essentially the highest part of the island where the maker, Magnus, could... look down and see the tax guys coming and still have time to hide the whiskey, which evolved into Highland Park.
It's a lot of forethought.
Yeah. Oh, he was like
Let's
a scoundrel.
Build it over here. No,
like,
build it way up there.
He was kind of
when you're breaking the law, you got to kind of think ahead a little.
Yeah. He was kind of amazing. Like he was kind of amazing. He worked as a butcher by day and he also was a church officer at night, but he was not at all religious. He was actually using the church as a guise to hide whiskey and like,
that's like the pews story of my life, and the, man. Yeah.
Basically, it was Damon. I like kind of think of him as like Bill the Butcher, but that's probably in my own head. But yeah, he's kind of a badass, you know, breaking the law up there. So it's up on like steep cliffs, so it's not really getting like sea spray pouring over the distillery or the island. It's much more of like an absorbed kind of. Yeah. Thing because it's up really high, so
cool.
Yeah,
what did you say, Jeff?
If you're late for your distillery tour and you're trying to run uphill, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, you're speaking from experience?
Yes.
Yes.
We forgot to grab bread from the kitchen.
Whatever. Just eat the meat.
Spoon it in.
Eat the meat.
Eat the
drink
meat.
The whiskey, eat the meat.
Tartar is all about the meat, not the bread.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get the first spoon this time.
It's starting on my end of the room.
Yeah, cool. So I think it's pretty exciting. Again, Scotch is one of those things that, like, I never would have thought that I would work for a Scotch company. And I think part of why I picked it is because really it's so good,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I know.
It's so, I mean,
I've had it before.
Well, I've had it before, too. We've all had it before. I'm talking about
with the whiskey,
both.
Though.
I'm talking about both. And it's good with the whiskey. Yeah.
I bet.
Yum, yum.
Yeah.
I'm
about to get it. So, wait, why did you say, what did you say that you never thought you'd work for a Scotch company? Because, like, because
I don't know, because if you think about everybody you've ever seen that works in a Scotch company, you know, like, or I think there's, like, a very preciousness to Scotch in general, which I guess maybe is why I ended up going for it. Same as like cocktail bars, kind of the ability to break down the preciousness of something that has a kind of standard put on it.
Sure, it's almost like a firewall that some people feel like they can't get past, but we can break it down for them and say, come on over, it's fine.
Yeah, and I think it's like it can be a little intimidating, Scotch in general, and it can come off.
Intimidating is a good word.
Yeah,
a lot of people are afraid to approach it.
I think a lot of people are scared of Scotch a lot, and there's so much to know about it.
I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, it's like wine. It's like getting into wine. It's like there's so many elements, so many levels, and like, yeah, I mean, like, but like you said before, like in the show, you said that there are a lot of like restrictions and a lot of rules with Scotch, but also it's kind of like I feel like Scotch and rums are like the most like incredible spirits, just based on like, and like they vary so much, like based on like terroir, like just location alone, obviously for rum, but for Scotland and Scotch, like so much can change in so few miles, you know.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And yeah, the same thing with rum. It's like you're talking about, you know, only a few ingredients that go into it, and you're like, where does all of the taste come from? You know, a lot of it's, you know, within the barrel, which is a whole magical process, and then where it's coming from, where it's being made, what kind of water you're using, like just tons of little tiny nuances that change and determine the whole outcome, you know, the yeast or it's just crazy.
It's like it's why no one's been able to successfully open like a New York pizza spot on the West Coast. You got to have that New York City water.
Yeah, man.
That's
it
legit.
Changes. Same with bagels, all that stuff.
Yeah, like totally.
It changes.
You're damn elements. Right.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You got the best water, everyone.
My water is the best. New York City, baby.
We don't use Brita here.
It's got krill in it.
It has antidepressants in it, which is amazing, considering how unhappy this is.
Is this a conspiracy podcast?
No.
Gotcha.
It is now.
I just dose your water.
Okay, so we have to pause just for 2 seconds. Talking about Scotch and drinking Scotch is great. But this tartar...
It's so fucking good.
Why exactly? So I was a chef for years in
no
PS.
Secrets.
I was also a butcher. And, you know, tartar is a common thing for us to just sort of eat.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
We've used 2 spoons in this studio today, by the way.
Yes, for 6 of us.
Hey, you know,
what is it about this tartar? What's the you have a ton of ingredients here. What's making it so poppy? Like, it's really got this salty pop to it. I know that's some molten salt right there, but, like, what's going on in this bowl?
I mean, so we use the baleen coarse sea salt, which I think gives you those kind of proteiny crystals of salt pop. But then also it's just depth of layer of flavors. We make a lot of different stuff. So we make our own hot sauce that we put into it that has 5 different chilies. We roast our own tomatoes and then chop them up with thyme and salt. And we take the capers and we wash them and we chop them up and we infuse them with truffle oil. So it's
what?
Yeah. So it's
a lot of work going into this.
It's a lot of different layers.
Right. This
of
isn't
flavor,
your standard just raw meat chopped up with some capers and salt in it.
This exactly. is trademarked too, so don't exactly. try and steal the recipe.
I've only given away a couple of secrets. There's more to it, but it's so. And then you know, it's obviously with tartare, one of the big things is always making it fresh. But yeah, so it's got a lot of different ingredients, but no particular ingredient takes it over. It's all let each
right,
ingredient
it's super well balanced. I feel like this is like kind of the same ethos that the front of the house has over there, yes. right? We're going to make a delicious cocktail. We're going to put a lot of effort into it, but we're going to make it seem
well, that's
pretty
the
simple.
Thing too. Yes. It's like whenever you're at the bar, it comes out to the, it's always
it's table
prepared
side.
Table mm-hmm. side or bar.
Correct.
Bar.
It's a big like, part of it. And it's part of that bringing that experience of interacting with people, not just delivering service, not just delivering a good, but actually interacting with them about it. So you can talk to them about it, ask them why they're there, have a conversation with them and really get into that mode of hospitality. And I think it's one of the, a great dish on that level because of that. I don't know a lot of places that do a tableside tartare. I know a bunch of places that do.
Right. It used to be pretty
dishes.
Common, but I think yeah. Tableside work is used to be very common. You
right.
get your Caesar salad made tableside.
Leon would always do that.
Sure.
That's not around anymore, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. But yeah, the first time I ever had like a real like steak tartare experience was at Leon, and it was like made to, it was bespoke. It was like they would bring out the cart and they would mm-hmm. make it for you, and they would be like, "All right, do you like it spicy? Do you like salty?"
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's so uncommon that now a lot of times because we bring it in about three different dishes, so it comes out. There's a bar that has three of the items that go into it, and there's a couple of bottles: the Worcestershire, the house-made hot sauce, and then the tartare itself comes out in a bowl. And sometimes it's made tableside by the manager. Sometimes they don't get there right away, and people will just start eating stuff.
And it's like,
and so they get there and they're like, no, that was just chopped shallots. You weren't supposed to eat that. Like,
hey, listen,
the shallot's always my favorite part of the yeah. tartare. This yeah. one,
I yeah. love that they like train them, and it's like the manager comes out and makes it for you. Yeah. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
gotta
it's,
know,
not,
like,
it's not a kitchen,
it's not an easy
exactly.
person.
It's a legitimate it's service that the mm-hmm. that the establishment
it
offers.
Integrates the back of the house and the front of house in again with their whole ethos of like. Making everything a family. It's like
it's
not
hospitality.
I was just thinking that the last time I had the tartare there was it was served to me by Rob Kruger of Extra Fancy
Kruger.
and Employees Only, which actually makes me think about the last. It's been a while since I've been there. I need to get back, man.
Yeah, yeah, that has
come
been a
have
while.
Dinner, guys.
Yeah.
He's been gone for about a year over in Asia. So
okay, don't make me feel that bad, man. It's not been a full year. Has it
close.
It has to have been because he's been gone crazy. For exactly a year
yeah.
over in Asia.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Watch his Instagram.
All right, well,
we'll go in and have dinner.
I'm happy to make a reservation for you, Damon. Do you want me to book you for tomorrow?
I would love it. Thank you.
Pressure's on.
Henry, Jeff. I know you work.
I got to work. Sorry.
Oh, before you slam this one, Damon.
Yeah. What'd you pour for us now?
105 proof.
Don't
so
threaten me.
Maybe take it easy a little bit. This is
I was going to grab us a bottle of water and I forgot.
Yeah, this is really special. So this is something that we just released in the winter for the winter solstice. It's called the Dark.
The
we have
dark.
The Light coming out in about a month. So this is a 17-year-old first fill European sherry casks, 105 proof roughly. It's pretty magical. Just
bursting
sherry
with aroma.
Bomb,
yeah,
like
bursting, yeah, bursting totally. With aroma.
So I naturally love it because my sherry.
Yeah, but also you said it's 105 proof?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste like it, though.
It does
it's
not.
It's really mellow.
I mean, the sherry really, like
mellows
calms
it
down.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I love, I mean, like, there's, like, the Glenfarclas 105. I think 105 is kind of, like, a really good proof level for scotch.
I think scotch should typically is best when it's a little overproof, and that's probably yeah. why you tend to add water or a cube to it, because really all of the big bold stuff is in there when it's high, and you want to get all of that instead of lowering the proof. There are some that are great that are 80. We have one in all of our line that's 80 proof, and everything else is overproof, just because that's where it's best, typically.
Yeah, you got to listen to the old palate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It always bothered me. It has always bothered me that like scotch is always like 86 proof. That's it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably some
again, it's got, there's a stuffiness to it that, yeah, that I
someone
think.
Someone came along at some point and was like, this is the perfect.
This is what it should be.
Okay, yeah. We'll all fall in line.
At 90.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Let's see, you just described the entirety of history.
Yeah.
Some we old did guy it. Came when around.
Show's over.
When we quantify what is best. Yeah. When we quantify what is best, we tear down everything else, exactly. which is terrible. It tears down the whole
actually,
system.
Actually, there's an article.
I just posted that article, yeah.
Yeah.
From Seth Godin.
Yeah, the one about, like, there should be no, like, we should probably talk about that for a second since we're on it. But there was an article about how World's Best Bar should not be
a designation
because,
or whatever, yeah.
Because it's like. It, like, especially, like, well, even though, like, Employees Only has gotten that award a bunch of times. Sorry, I'm not, like, trying to take away from that. But
how dare you, Damon?
This is the gotcha you. Moment
this is a
on
prestigious
air.
Award.
Live radio.
If you want to find the article, it's I posted it on my Twitter at Creative Drunk. It's from Seth Godin, his blog, which is pretty, it's a lot of thoughtful things. It's just, it's an essay. It's not a really long article, and it's called Why a System of Forced Rankings is Flawed for Everyone, and it's pretty fascinating. He doesn't mention our business at all, but I posted it because I feel like it really applies, because we're always about the best bar list, the best drink list, the best who's got the best bourbon, like, and it's like it tears down the whole system.
Right. I mean, the best bars are the ones that aren't on those lists so that they're not crowded full of a bunch of douchebags, right? Like,
yeah, totally. Like,
like, if everybody knew about my favorite bars, that would be terrible.
Yeah, I know. You don't.
Right, like, they would no longer
also,
be.
Plus, it's also kind of deeply personal, you know. And it's also it's also subjective. Timely too. The best bar for me on a rainy Brooklyn afternoon is not the same best bar for me on a summer sunny afternoon. You know, like it's or evening or whatever. It's all circumstantial. So, you can't weigh all those into these lists.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough thing, but I think a lot of it also has to do with it's kind of a thing that's supposed to be informative for people that aren't in the industry.
Yeah,
it's because it's, I think as long as you have people that are doing things that they don't know about, they want lists.
I mean, there's
like the public.
There's a little bit of that demand. But if you read the article, it's pretty cool because he doesn't really mention our business specifically. He just mentions just generally, like if you got a best shoe list, you got a best tires list.
Yeah.
It tears down the whole fabric of that entire system.
Totally,
I agree.
And it's pretty fascinating.
Dude, my favorite Amaro bar. I'm sorry. My favorite place to drink Amaro. That is.
Italy. Me too.
Well, yeah. It's not
Southern
Amore Margo.
My
Italy, the
house.
Country.
It's not Amore Margo. Okay.
You know what? My favorite place to go drink whiskey and soda is Amore Margo, because I just get to sit in there and, like, fuck with you.
Thank you.
You know? Like, but,
thank you.
But again, it's about the experience.
It's about the experience.
So for you, the experience is totally different.
That's why I don't go to, like, I go to brunch, but you know what? Don't tell me when to eat eggs. That's my only thing. Like, everyone's like, fuck brunch and all this shit. I'm like, just don't tell me when I have to eat eggs. I will eat eggs whenever the fuck I feel like
David,
it.
David, who has been following you around and demanding you eat eggs at weird hours?
Dude, you don't want to know who's following me. But also, on the same time, like, on this same trip of that, like, it's like, don't tell me when I can't have a Bloody Mary, you know?
Exactly.
That's why the brunch thing's fucked up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's my favorite thing in the world is, like, I don't know. You and I are old punk rockers, man. Well,
yeah,
I guess
exactly.
We're all
this room is full of punk.
Like,
that's
I don't
true.
Know what you're talking
this
about.
This room is
I'm
full
a
of
very
punk
white-laced individual. I don't like getting lumped in with that kind
this
of
this room is full of punk rockers.
Like, like I'll go to brunch and I'll eat. I'm like, oh yeah, they got steak and eggs on the menu. I'll have the steak and eggs. Hold the eggs, please.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. Anyway,
eat what you want when you want.
This whiskey's great, by the way.
This whiskey is delicious. I think it should be on the best list.
I feel like there's like an underlying story where Damon got hurt by a brunch or something.
The best.
You know what?
It's the best.
Yeah, you know what? I did, okay?
Did a brunch break up with you, Damon?
Why do you got to bring this up on the air?
You brought it up, Damon.
On a side note, the best dish we had when we ate just last week at Le Cucu for dinner was a have you been yet?
Oh yes, it's amazing.
I've only been the one time.
We only went once.
I went to celebrate finishing my book, which is available now on Amazon.com.
Available on the iPhone.
I'm just here for the drinks.
You can't get a paper copy. It was written on an iPhone. You can only read it on an iPhone.
That's how it goes. But they
That's
had this
punk
dish.
Rock, man.
They had this dish. They took Jim lettuce. You know, the little baby romaine, basically.
Who's
and
Jim?
They,
James lettuce. You
yes,
mean?
Yes, sure. And they spun it into a sauce.
Jim, like a precious Jim.
They spun it into a sauce, and then they coddled eggs in this sauce of lettuce. Best dish we had. That was an appetizer, obviously, but like best dish we had.
So good.
Huh? Coddled eggs in lettuce sauce.
How do they coddle them? Do they like rub their shoulders or?
Yes. Yeah, you've been coddled for far too long, Souther.
I've been coddled.
Well, okay, the best dish I've had today is this tartare.
Absolutely. This gazpacho is no joke either,
and
man.
And also, this is like the first time that I think this is the first time we've definitely the first time we've had tartare on the show.
It's the first time we've eaten anything not from Roberta's in here.
Exactly. So yeah. Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome. I mean, I didn't realize you guys are literally watching people eat this entire time.
Yeah.
Table 42, man.
Yeah right through
right
the
here.
So it's about the time they got to watch you guys eat, you know?
Yeah,
we
totally
appreciate it. You
fuck them.
You've done a first here on the show.
I've been actively trying to stare people in the eyes as they eat.
Just totally
right when
right
he
there.
Started the soup. The guy that was sitting right there was like peeking. He was like, "What is
so
going
hard.
On in that bowl? What do they have?
Yeah, what do they have? That
it's not available at Roberta's. Go to employees only.
You know what? This
Super
show has been about
awesome.
Like. This is more than about employees only, and more than like Highland Park, which are two amazing things.
Yeah,
this has actually just been a really good show about like catching up with some friends.
Exactly.
At that, like, and having a couple more amazing friends.
Yeah.
And some invaluable time spent together. And invaluable. So this has been like a very very cool day.
Yeah.
And
it's gonna keep on being cool.
Yeah.
It's a good day, and I don't have to rush away. I have to go to work, but I don't have to rush.
We miss you guys. Because
can I let you have a big secret? By the way, this all happened while we were here. I don't know if you saw
secrets.
Me keep grabbing my phone.
No, I know you're that guy that's on the
a little
like,
distracted.
You're behind the bar on your phone.
I have too many things going on all the time. But while we've been on the phone, and funny that we ended up talking about what we ended up talking about, a photography team from 50 Best Bars is currently at Amore Margo taking photos.
Oh, my. Would you like to revise your stance on lists?
Wow.
No, I'm not going to revise it at all. I still think it tears down the system, but I'm perfectly happy
to be
on that list.
But take all the pictures you want. Take all the pictures you want.
Listen, Jesus. I'll be happy if I get on that list. Because it'll send traffic my way, and that'll make my team more money and
it's
all the
great.
Things happen. Whatever.
Take it.
So, Tonya, talk to us real fast. Plug yourself. Give us your social media or anywhere people can follow you or hear about you or pick up your products.
I'm on Instagram as Hot Dram. keeping the tattoos relevant.
That's right. Nice.
So I post pretty frequently, not just whiskey. I post a lot about dogs and tattoos too. So follow me there. HighlandParkWhiskey.com is our website. It's pretty cool. It tells our whole story.
Pick up a bottle at your local
retailer.
Pick
up a bottle.
You can find it
at Grand
Army.
Do it for yourself. You can definitely drink it at Grand Army. You can drink it at Amore Margo.
I've got Magnus.
A delicious menu drink there.
And then Prime Meats.
Yep.
Delicious. Jeff Galley. And Prime Meats.
It's everywhere.
It is. It is everywhere. So,
Jackson, what you got?
And employees only, of course.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Just come visit us at one of our many locations.
Next time you're in Singapore.
Over 100 billion served.
Make sure to have dinner, a full, nice dinner
with
your drink.
Come, we have tons of food, great food at every location, but also a great bar.
Also a great bar.
It's an okay bar. The kitchen is great.
It's all right. I've never
been on top of that bar with my shirt off at like 3:30 in the morning. Just like doing laybacks.
I don't really do the Instagram thing, but you can follow all of the employees only accounts at employees only NYC, employees only Miami, employees only LA, employees only SG, all that.
Employees
stuff.
Only the moon.
Yeah, exactly. Everywhere. I'll post all that stuff on the Speakeasy Podcast Instagram, so you can figure out where to follow everybody.
When's the book out?
My book comes out on August 28th.
Woo! That's my birthday.
Asking. Get out of here, is it?
Yeah.
I will take a copy. Thank you.
I'll sign it for you. It's available now on Amazon.com, so go get your pre-order in. It'll arrive on the 28th if you do that. And otherwise, come by the shop and pick one up, and I'll sign it for you, or bring your book and I'll sign it, or I'm going to make these stickers so I can literally sign the sticker and mail it to people. So I'll be signing books all over the world.
Woo!
Upcoming shows include but aren't limited to... Oh, by the way, I'd like to point out, I don't think I did it on air, today is my 2-year anniversary on the show.
Yeah, totally.
Congratulations.
Two years out of the 7 and change years that the show's been on, I've been here. And I wanted to just throw a quick mention into last year in the studio.
For the near 2-year anniversary, I got you a bottle of Highland Park 12.
Oh, so nice!
You're so thoughtful.
And I'll
Damon.
Sign it for you.
You're
if so you want.
I do want that. I want to point out, I want to mention, we didn't really talk about him too much, but we had a guest in the studio last week who kind of sat here silently, just like Henry O is today. Jim Zakara from Hope and Olive. He brought us a ton of great gifts that are stacked up on the bar right now. So
he sure did.
Just want to mention him. What a great guy. Just a longtime listener who happened to be in town and wanted to be in the studio with us because we're such magnetic personalities, I guess. So upcoming shows include but aren't limited to Will Elliott's going to be on the show soon. Angus Winchester's coming up as well.
Angus,
my old roommate.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yes, my best Winchester. Roommate I ever had.
Right, because he basically lived on an airplane.
Yeah.
Julie Reiner's promised to be on the show as well.
Lauren, I love how every time you
my
say
my mentor, you got a lot of people related to me on this show.
Yeah.
I love every time you like. Yeah, Angus is going to be on. Will Elliott's going to be on. Julie Reiner promised to be on the show.
Well, she hasn't.
Every time you say that, you say she promised to be on
the show.
She didn't give me a hard date yet, so yeah. But she said coming up. So you
know. She'll really give us a hard time,
to,
though.
Yeah, she's still trying to twist an arm right now.
She'll give us a great hard time. Lauren Myerskoff's going to come up from Cocktail & Sons down in New Orleans. Who else did I skip here? Because I try not to tell them in order because I don't want to get people's hopes up. Ann Peck Davis is going to be on with her new book, which I brought you a copy of today, Damon. It's called Cocktails Across America. It's right here. You can follow us at Speakeasy Podcast on Instagram. You can follow me at Creative Drunk on all media. Damon is Damon Bolte on Instagram as well as Speakeasy.
Speakeasy Radio.
Speakeasy Radio on Twitter.
Although I'm not very active on Twitter.
That's all right.
Why does Twitter exist?
And that's our show.
Facebook is for Facebook is for your friends. Twitter is for your audience, and Instagram is for those that can't read.
It's been a great show today. Also, I just want to say before we sign off, congratulations on your recent nuptials.
Thank you so
very
much.
Cool.
Much appreciated.
And you know what? What a cool fucking couple, right?
Yeah, power couple in
He's
the industry.
All right.
Front of the house, back of the house, crushing it.
Cool, man. Oh, well,
thank you for
guys,
having
thanks
us.
Thanks so much for being
thank
on the show
for,
today.
Yeah.
I also want to thank Jeff Galley and Henry O for sitting in the studio. We always happy to have people sit in the studio and like chime in occasionally and just sometimes just like hanging out and getting to drink some really fucking good like whiskey and some, you know, every once in a while.
Put me on the rotation, man. Anytime you need somebody, I'll swing by.
Perfect.
Yeah, man, as long as you got a pocket full of tartar, you're in.
Yeah.
Jay Zimmerman like, actually pulls constantly that out of his asked me to bring him a pocket full of tartar to basic, by the way.
Amazing.
The new service.
Cool. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one. Obviously not as cool as this one, but...
similar, but
boom.
Not the same.
Yeah, and go to the website and click on the Beating Heart to donate to the station so we can keep bringing more programs like this to you. And until next week, cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.